Check, check, check.
Check, check, check.
Oh my God, it's working. Yay.
Yay. Check out those awesome levels.
So slick. How do you want me to introduce you?
Well, you can start by saying who you are and then...
Sure. Okay. I can... You know, I think I'm just asking because I'm not really sure, apart from Becky and development, what your title is.
I'm just the development director.
Development director.
Yeah.
That's great.
I direct development.
Direct development. Okay.
I love that waveform on my like weird laugh.
I know. Laughing and looking at the red. It's just really funny. Yeah, it's good. All right. I have with me Becky, the director of developments.
Yes.
Here to talk about infrastructure is possibly falling away under the Trump administration due to really extreme budget proposals.
Oh, yes.
So take us away, Becky. KBOO is one of thousands of radio stations that receive CPB funding, and that's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, just for those who don't know. How will KBOO specifically be affected by these proposed cuts? Give us some data.
So only recently has KBOO become a community service grant holder within the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We were part of it for quite a long time and then left in 2008. So as a result, we had to think critically about our ability to raise funds and to sustain the operations outside of getting federal funding in it. And it encouraged us, to say it kindly, to like really focus on how we are able to raise funds through membership, through grant writing, through underwriting. And so we have that sort of focus already. Our becoming part of CPB, I think, fits in a little more with perhaps a mandate to look further outside of KBOO rather than, you know, what are we going to do with the money or how are we going to maintain this money? So that's a fortunate position. We're also really fortunate to be in a major market area that has over 2.5 million people in it. And that's not even counting our translator areas. So, you know, we're talking about a potential membership base or listener base of an extraordinary number, and we don't have, you know, the implication of being a rural station where your listener base, because of the population density, may be 100 people within the entirety of your broadcast map. So with us being where we are physically and geographically, and with our sustainable funding model through membership, grant writing and underwriting, we're in a pretty fortunate space.
I feel the same way. What are some specific programs that could disappear from KBOO if worse comes to worse, CPB is cut?
That's a good question. Because we do have an initiative that we started with our Youth of Color internship that is a program specifically to teach broadcast skills and training while we are able to lift up the programming that we already do by transforming it into nationally distributed programming. So that syndication piece is very, very difficult, I think, for volunteers and folks that are doing programming and putting everything into that to do on top of that normal stuff. And so we're actually providing technical support and promotional support through this way. And syndication will, you know, be an incredible boon to KBOO no matter what. But that is funded primarily through CPB. Mm-hmm. So our ability to, I think it would be a great model specifically to bring equity to broadcast and public media where we're not focusing and diverting all the funds to make one really big splashy podcast or program, that instead we're reinvesting in our communities so that we can, you know, further their works as well as the good works of KBOO. So that stands to be at risk of being cut because of CPB going away. Which don't.
No. I hope the sad day, if that would happen. Tell us about the NFCB. Who are they? Why should our audience care?
I love them.
We do love them.
You will love them too.
Yes, we do love them. Break it down for our people.
So NFCB stands for the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. It is the only coalition of community radio stations in the United States. But that said, there are a lot of different consortiums and groups of people that focus in on specific topics and communities. So NFCB is this really amazing umbrella organization that is, I don't know, like if there was an analog in the public radio sphere, it would be, you know, Greater Public or whatever the production manager group of, you know, public radio, CPB together would be. But NFCB is a mix of like rural and urban stations, of low power FMs, AM stations, FM stations. It represents this incredible diversity of broadcasting venues that America has. And they also have amongst them our friends who are rural stations who service primarily, you know, low income or minority or any amount of place. I'm sorry. Any place that is not served by an urban market, they have stations, a bunch of them, that are within their purview. So one of the coolest things when the public radio system was essentially founded in 1967 was that there was a mandate to bring radio, specifically like educational broadcasts, non-commercial radio, to rural areas, because as radio developed since the 20s, the biggest like amount of spectrum, the amount of FM stations were just given to commercial radio. And it was in response to this that places like KPFA and KBOO were founded. There were no other alternatives. All you heard were at like advertisements in Top 40 all the time. So that is an important aspect of what NFCB members are, that they are part of this mandate to bring the public radio infrastructure into all of America, not just the folks that happen to live in urban centers. And 248 of the 575 stations that are members of NFCB are, in fact, rural stations. So that's incredible. They employ almost 6,000 people, and they are providing an important work, an important service to their communities, because not only do they lift up the voices of neglected perspectives, but they physically provide an actual emergency service for their communities. And that is a critical piece of any community.
It is critical. And I think a lot of people just don't realize that there had to be this mandate, and that that it's really for them and goes, in my opinion, in tandem with the First Amendment to have access, free access to communication, and that is everybody's right, and that there are policies that support that, and that is really what's happening here is with these proposed dangerous cuts to the services are undermining these policies that were put into place so that everybody can have emergency services, but also just access to that information, and that no community is too big or too small for that. Tying off of that, let's talk about the kind of communities that use community radio, but there's so many.
Oh, yes.
There's so many. We were speaking earlier before we flipped the mics on about how many tribal communities rely on this, and that brought into, that just tied into the intersections of tribal history.
Yeah.
Do you want to take that away there?
Absolutely. So, you know, talking about single local service providers, rural stations are one piece of it, but also tribal community radio is a huge part of it. And there are currently 59 tribal community radio stations in the U.S. So that's incredible. They are a backbone to their communities, and that you can hear drive time radio in your indigenous language rather than it being, you know, Howard Stern or whoever the heck is doing that kind of gross like morning drive time stuff. And that's pretty critical, because these communities, they extend beyond what reservation systems exist. They service, you know, the variety and breadth of tribal communities that aren't necessarily even, you know, recognized by the federal government. And thus, this part of the encouragement of public infrastructure when it comes to support of communities and their ability to communicate with one another is a hugely critical part of it. That it isn't necessarily that the federal government is only, you know, they're only supporting one voice or perspective, which is usually the criticism that's levied against CPB specifically by conservatives, that this is liberal propaganda, blah, blah, blah. And in reality, it's not. It's a community resource for the incredible number of communities that may not even be recognized by the government.
Right. We spoke a lot about that, and our Jack Malmstrom at Rose City Native Radio, which is a program here.
They're awesome.
They are very awesome. We're talking a lot about that and where federalism intersects with tribal recognition, mm-hmm. and the reality that there are, and we as journalists deal with them, deal with these communities, work with them, try and support them every day, how there's hundreds and hundreds that yes. have their own cultures, their own dialects, their own art and history, living yeah. living here in the Portland metro area, not alone.
Just
I'm
like
not speaking about
the U.S. wide.
Yeah, I'm not the U.S. wide. I'm not speaking about that, but really just in Portland metro area alone, hundreds that are not federally recognized. But that doesn't mean that their cultures and their access to services
right
shouldn't
are exist.
Valid.
You know,
they
like
exist,
they
and yet
are here
without public radio. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have strong communication chains or access to, you know, sharing information, any of that stuff. And I don't think a lot of people realize how specific a connection that is, that if CPB is cut,
yes,
a lot of other stations like ours won't be able to support outreach mm-hmm. or investigative journalism programs. I can speak to that.
Yeah.
that allow us to reach out to those hundreds of communities that are real, but no one would be hearing about if it wasn't for the team that we have in these community stations and the funding to do that.
Exactly. I mean, it really ties into, I think, not even, we don't have all the information ever in our perception of reality to begin with. And so to presume that we know every single culture that exists within the geographic space that we share with them, I think is presumptuous, and it also it whitens it. Like it homogenizes it in a way that's totally uncomfortable. And I kind of want to use this moment to say, like, I love community radio. Community radio, I think, is more than just a tool for communications. It is our ability to connect. It is our ability to express things in a safer space than the disappearing art spaces that are in our local area specifically. And so that leads me to have criticisms of certain parts of the public radio system. I think NPR has, you know, some challenges that they need to address in their, like, white cishet male privilege, quote unquote, objective reporting. But I don't think that we need to destroy the system. I don't think we should, you know, totally invalidate the decades, over 50 years of work and public resources that, you know, civil society has invested in these very important parts of our, like, the fabric of our America, and parts of that fabric we don't even really know because we don't have access to it. It's all about access. And so when we hear, you know, language from an indigenous tribe that doesn't necessarily get recognized by the federal government but has this incredible rich history, then we are better people because of it. We know that there is this incredible wealth of a world around us to experience and share with our neighbors, rather than it being commodified and turned into something that can be sold.
CPB has been under fire before, which I think is another hot topic that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Oh, yeah, like all the time.
Take us down memory lane just yeah. a little bit.
Everybody, turn back your memory sticks to 1967 when Lyndon B. Johnson founded, or didn't found, he signed into law the Communications Act, and that essentially founded CPB. And over the years, there have been attacks by the Reagan administration, Bush administration. Newt Gingrich actually very famously put it on the chopping block, Paul Ryan. And now this bill, or I guess it's, yeah, this piece of legislation, which has been introduced multiple times by Colorado Representative Doug Lanborn. There has always been this charge by, you know, primarily Republicans, but to omit funding for CPB so that, you know, why would we pay for something us personally don't listen to? I can also say that, you know, despite that, you know, sort of repeated attack that CPB has experienced, that there is also an enormous amount of bipartisan support for CPB. So, you know, this is all very shocking, right? Like the executive branch's priority is to, you know, omit funding for CPB, omit funding for the National Endowment for Humanities, omit funding for libraries and museums and arts. That's the priority. That's scary. We also have, you know, the legislative branch that has to go through like this right. whole job thing that they do, which is to determine like congressional appropriations and make a budget that is reflective of our community and like public interest rather than, you know, the prioritization of our quote leaders. But, you know, it's still right. scary. It's like,
it is really scary.
Someone being mean to you.
It's beyond being
yeah,
mean.
I know. That's like.
tearing away your ability to freely communicate and get information, which with
choking
you can
you
make
air.
Informed decisions with.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like a mic drop, even yeah. though our microphones are fixed, hanging in midair from these like little mechanical arms right now.
Yeah, we can't really drop them, which I think is probably
right.
Good
but
for
I think
it,
people
but...
have felt that the mic drop that's right there. What can people do, in addition to letter writing? Or is it really just to sit and wait?
Well, you, dear listeners, can do something. And I would, you know, contact your legislatures. But we have a limitation on what we can lobby for. So me reporting that these folks are targeting CPB funding, which then affects the radio you're listening to this very moment, is news. And so, you know, lest I, you know, endanger KBOO with our lobbying activities, I actually should share that with you. Yeah. There are rules.
Yeah, there are rules.
Yeah. But, you know, also being aware and talking to your neighbors about, you know, what CPB actually is. It's not NPR. CPB funds NPR. It funds PBS. It funds community stations. In fact, the majority of money that CPB puts into the public radio system is specifically earmarked for independently run stations. Some of them are like KBOO, where they're incredibly independent and have this incredible amount of voice and perspective. And others are NPR stations. But that doesn't necessarily negate the amount of public service that they provide their communities. So knowing that CPB funds stations that then broadcasts anything besides commercial radio or religious programming is something to support in my mind. So, you know, talking to people about that, saying that, you know, your perspective of not enjoying a certain type of like voice or political leaning is that a justification for destroying an entire system. That's something to kind of interrupt. So those are the action items I would consider. Also, you know, knowing that KBOO is going through the development of this national syndication, that we are actively making a model for public radio that is informed and made by the public. How can that continue when we don't have the money to do that? It's through support of listeners like you. So consider that and, you know, keep that in mind when we come to you to support the community efforts that will indeed revolutionize media.
Wonderful. Thank you, Becky, so much for sharing with us and breaking down what exactly this legislation could mean, what these budget cuts could mean. I have we've been talking with Becky, development director for KBOO, about this Corporation for Public Broadcasting possibly losing its importance in our system. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to add as we bring things to a close?
I mean, it's something that, I mean, personally, I think is important. But, you know, right now we're at this critical turning point about our relationship with culture, I think, in general. And I think it's important that we consider the ramifications of removing cultural institutions from kind of our fabric of understanding, that we do need culture, arts, humanities, and public radio so that we're not necessarily experiencing culture as a nicety, the access to arts and such as a nicety. It's actually that it's part of a powerful movement that I think battles the spectacle that we experience day to day. So I would encourage, you know, kind of a reframing as well. How do you interact with culture? How, you know, should people kind of look at it besides a consumable thing? That's just it.
It just occurred to me that I don't remember your last name.
Oh, it's Myers.
Myers. I was like, Maya? I was like, I'm not going to pretend to know that. All
right. It's okay.
Well, this has been an in-depth about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting possibly being cut and how it's affecting community radio coast to coast. I have Becky Myers, Director of Development here at KBOO. And this is Zelos Marchant for KBOO News.